Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
This is not a big deal. I don't want to make it sound like a big deal. It is a deal, and I can put it on a list of what I feel this year is wide receiver behavior that was unnecessary. Wide receiver behavior that was unnecessary and counterproductive. Both of the 49ers starting receivers have participated this year. Brandon's was in the offseason. Deebo Samuel, if you're just joining us, with his tweets over the last half hour. Again, not a big deal, but a deal. Quote, not struggling at all, just not getting the ball. Followed by, just because I voice my opinions doesn't mean I'm hating on any of my teammates. Be for real. Okay, counterproductive. That's your emotions being triggered. And then you going to Twitter to fight back. We've all done it. But you're Deebo Samuel. A.J. Brown this year calling out the passing attack of the Eagles in a 9-game win streak. Ja'Marr Chase taking the Bengals on a preseason ride when it's not even extension time for him. I could go on and on. This is what happens at the wide receiver position especially, and it's why the bubble needs to burst. It's why the bubble needs to burst. Ephraim made an unbelievable point to me last night. We were sitting there talking football, and look around the league and the production of the high-priced receiver versus the disenfranchised running back who got kicked off of his old team. Look around the league.
Yeah.
It's stunning. It's stunning. Look at the running backs that somebody didn't want.
I mean, Saquon Barkley, J.K. Dobbins,
Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones. These guys are all on good teams.
Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon is another great example. They're all heading to the playoffs. Nobody wanted them. And here they are. At meantime, a lot of those guys were let go because somebody needed to give $27 million or more to somebody who's getting targeted four times an afternoon.
Yeah.
It's wild, man.
And even,
it's out of whack.
Even looking at this team here where, you gave Brandon Ayuk the money and you gave Deebo a restructure, and all the while you had Jordan Mason come in and be one of the top rushers early on in football, and now you've got Isaac Garendo off of his first start running the ball great. Funny that Deebo says that about not getting the ball. I was just looking at his touches this year, 72 touches in 12 games, 6 touches a game. Last year he had 97 touches in 15 games, 6.5 touches a game. So you have a half a touch less per game.
Interesting.
And all of a sudden now?
Now it's a problem.
Now you're not getting the ball.
No, and that's my point. I think he's responding to the voices. And look, you're allowed to, and he's not the first and he won't be the last. But that, like, it so comes with the territory that I just think you're better off not responding to the voices who all think you've lost a step. By the way, I've been saying for weeks, I don't think he's lost a step. I think this is circumstantial, but when I see him run, he looks like Deebo. He looks like Deebo to me. He looked like Deebo yesterday. The plays are not working as well. There are a lot of reasons for that. He's had some drops. Some of it is on him. Some of it's on the play calling, what have you. You know, there's just an ebb and flow to these things. It's not been a great year for a lot of Niners. He's one of them. Matt in Oakland next up here on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Matt. Thank you for the call.
Hey, how we doing, fellas?
What's up?
All right. So, bear with me and my ADHD as I go through my list. But when I was thinking about the whole lack of urgency thing, my first blame is Kyle, right? But then that made me think, like, man, Kyle has been through so much mentally with all the losses he's had over the past 8 years of coaching, right? And for him to come back each year and usually have a successful team, I mean, we do got to give him his credit, you know? it's not easy to get that close over and over again and keep bouncing back. But, you know, we lost some of those Super Bowls and NFC Championship games. You know, he's blaming himself. You know, we got punts off the heel, all sorts of things. So I was going to start blaming Kyle, but which he's part of the problem. But he's also picked you so freaking much when you think about it. Moving on down, I think that just has a trickle effect on the players, right? We pretty much have had the same core with some minor changes over the past 4 or 5 years. But all these big-time losses, I mean, they're heartbreaking and soul-crushing, man. And sometimes you need a reality check. We're all human. Sometimes you got to hit bottom, even when you've been towards the top, before you react again. But last thing, and thanks for being with me. When Kittle said that, I mean, he's been our best player this season, arguably.
Yep.
But he's saying that, right? And he's going, oh, you know, I look back at the 22 team and this and that. And my first thought is, well, Kittle, why weren't you being a leader? And why didn't you bring the urgency? If you're referencing how you saw urgency in other 49ers teams, and that wasn't happening in the beginning of the season, and you're one of our best players, and you're a veteran, why are you calling this out now?
Well,
you know, I mean, not everything can fall on Shanahan's head.
But Matt, he's been playing so well. Like, how is it, again, I guess there's just, and Matt, thank you so much. There's a fundamental sort of core of this conversation that I keep hearing that we're having, and it's an interesting one, which is whether or not words can actually do that. And by the way, there may be a bunch of you who are joining right now who have not heard the Kittle commentary that he is referring to. So let's play that for you. Here's George Kittle after the game yesterday.
I think the message was we need to play with more of a sense of urgency and play desperate, because you just haven't really sensed that. And like, I've been on teams where it felt like, was it 2 years ago we were on an, whatever, like 8-9 game win streak, whatever that was. And it literally felt like every play people were just scratching, clawing and fighting for everything. And I'm not going to call anybody out. Like, we've all not taken a play off, but like, you know, just not fought our hardest on every given play. And that was kind of the message, like, guys, just put it all out there, because we have the players, we have the playmakers, we have the play call, and we have everything to win games. But like, we have to do it out of desperation. And when you're playing desperate and you're playing like, hey, if we don't win this game, our season potentially is over. That desperation fuels guys in different ways. And it's just how you take that and how you channel that energy. And I thought our guys did a great job of that today.
Okay, so like, that's the comment. And then if the idea is, hey, George, if you noticed that, why didn't you do something about it? And A, I don't know when he noticed it. Maybe you just started feeling that way after Green Bay and Buffalo.
Right.
Number one. But Number two, this whole concept of do something about it if you're a leader. You can say something. You can lead by example, which I'd argue George has been doing all year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's played really, really well. I have a hard time with this idea that either complacency can go away, a sense of urgency can be created, and all of that comes from people at the top using words. I just think, to me, it's a more intricate thing and a difficult to access thing than just having somebody tell you to go do it.
Well, it just depends on the construct of your team. And this Niner team has a bunch of young players. You've got rookies starting on both sides of the ball, and they've never been in any spot in the NFL where you get 13, 14 games into a season and you realize now it's getting into the desperation portion of the program. So I do think that with younger players, you have to have a responsibility to say something and to help them through, whether it's Renardo Green and Dominic Pooney and Pearsall and Cowing and Garendo and all these other young players who you've been forced to play. It's up to you as a veteran to tell them early on how you have to comport yourself.
But don't you think they did that? Like, that's the other thing that I see.
Well, then why hasn't it, like...
Because that's not what does it. That's my point. My point is we do this a lot. We'll see something that we don't like and we'll go, well, how come no one said anything? You don't know that they didn't. In fact, I almost think it's kind of crazy to think that they didn't. They're with each other every day. They are desperate. They are embarrassed. It is slipping away. It has been all bad. It's been this horrible season. And because of this comment, now we're under the impression that nobody said anything to anybody? for 15 weeks?
Well, we know that somebody said something to somebody, and that's Debo Samuel said something to the kicker. We know that he said something.
I mean, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that get said. But that's my
point. Well, that got said. So we do know that.
That's my point. Like,
apparently that worked because he went out there and he made the game winner.
Apparently. And then he came out. I mean, then he came out later and had another bad game. And by the way, the kick that he did make went in by a foot. You know what I mean? Like,
that's Kansas City if they count.
Yeah, it counts.
Yep.
Chris in San Jose. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I had to take you guys off my speakerphone there. What's happening?
What's up, man?
Man, hey, what's happening? Long time no talk. Yeah, this Debo stuff, you know, a lot of times when people are down and out or they're at their lowest, that's kind of when they start to show you their true colors, you know, and he's frustrated. I get it. But there is nothing in Debo Samuel this year, whether it's from a leadership standpoint off the field, his leadership and playmaking on the field. There is not a single aspect to Debo as a person or player that exemplifies leadership quality. So I'm not surprised that when he's not getting the ball and, you know, it's throw the long snapper and the kicker under and, oh, I'm not getting the ball. And Dibbers just told you, you are getting the ball. Maybe you want to catch a few more passes and you don't want to run as much. I don't know, but Shanahan is trying to get you involved. So for him to, like, you know, and he has this podcast where he goes out there and he talks, and it's like, dude, you're a one-time Pro Bowler, one-time All-Pro. You've been around 6-7 years. Like, you are not that guy that somehow, some way, it's been hyped up in his head that he is elite. He is a number one receiver when he's not. He's not big. He's not as, you know, he's not elite in terms of quickness or speed, separation. His hands are average at best. Again, undersized. So, like, this notion that he needs to get the ball and, oh, I'm just, they're not working me into gameplay. It's like, dude, you have issues with your own, like, game in general as a player. Like, you just don't. The joke I like to make, he's a wide receiver who can't play out wide or receive. He's a gadget guy, so he lives on the fringe. When all those blockers aren't out in front of you, you know, hitting everything just perfectly, and now I know he can run through a guy every once in a while, but in reality, it's the scheme. It's everybody blocking all that open space. And there's a counterpoint to that where, yes, teams know that you do have a limited route tree. We want to get you the ball at or around the line of scrimmage, and then you go do the rest. Because guess what? You don't run good routes, dude. Period.
Go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, I think, I don't know if he's coming back next year. I don't know what the deal is, but when can we get some transparent discipline? I know these are grown men, right? But we need, I mean, strip the man, take the C off his chest. He's not a captain. Anybody who played varsity level sports in high school knows this guy's not a leader.
Well, to me, and thank you, Chris, to me, who is the leader is not for those outside of the group to assess. I have no idea who's in that locker room getting everybody going.
Well, and he's the leader of the wide receivers, and so what are your other choices?
The elder statesman there, sure.
You got Conley and Cowing and Pearsall.
Juwan's got some interesting leadership qualities.
Debo's got more juice.
Yeah, of course he does. Like Chris mentions, like for some reason he thinks this and that. He thinks he's elite. I can tell you a bunch of reasons why he thinks he's elite. Number one, he's had a 1,300-yard season in this league. Number two, he's paid like an elite receiver. Number three, his name value is that of an elite receiver. Number four, he's a receiver. They're like 70% of receivers, it feels like, are teenagers. They never think that they're accountable for anything. It's funny that we always use that word for head coaches. I hear head coaches around the league take accountability more than wide receivers all the time. But wide receivers, because of the intricacies of their position, they cannot have the ball unless a bunch of things go right on a given play. A great player is involved in terms of the ball in 10 plays a week.
Yeah, I was gonna say eight to 10, you're right.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it. And a lot has to go right, and someone needs to deliver it to you, and it's just set up for you to not think it's your fault. if you don't get the ball. And there's probably some truth to that.
Yeah.
You need blocking. You need a QB. You need to get open.
You need the QB to decide to throw it to you.
The timing, yeah. Right, all of that stuff.
I'm looking at the Garendo wheel route that he ran, and Brock threw that like almost a Hail Mary. He teardropped it. I'm looking at the play right now. It was a three-man formation to the left, and the play looked to be designed to go to Debo. And I'm looking at here, and Debo's open by 10 yards. And he's turning, and you know he's expecting the ball, and Brock sees man-to-man coverage, Garendo on a linebacker, and so he shoots a shot. It's all he's got.
And he got it.
And he got it. Nailed a little bit of an underthrow, but good enough to connect, and Garendo goes down to the one-yard line. And I'm sure those are the kinds of plays where Debo is happy that the team did well and they gained yards, but that's a play where Debo's thinking, I'm open.
Maybe.
Throw me the ball.
Yeah, but if you're going to get all the way to the one-yard line, that's always the right choice. Like, I look at it this way. There is, in fact, a wide receiver I can think of right now who, here's the marker. When someone else scores a touchdown, even if you're open, how does the receiver react?
Yeah.
Do they run over to their teammates? Do they celebrate? Are they pumping their fist just as hard when someone else gets the touchdown as opposed to when they do? And there are a couple of receivers who pout even when their team has a positive play if it wasn't them. First name that comes to mind, George Pickens. This guy fits absolutely right into what we're talking about. He has spent the better part of his career in Pittsburgh screaming at people on the sideline, complaining from what I'm told behind the scenes. He's finally calmed down enough to where he is becoming a positive influence on his team. But it took him a while. It took him 3-4 years. And in fact, he's still getting bad quotes. You know, after that game that they lost to Cleveland in the snow a couple of weeks ago, he came out in the locker room and said some things that were very counterproductive to what the team's doing, and the team's in the middle of a special year. This is not inherent, because they're not all cut this way, but a lot of wide receivers, this is part of the position. The way the position works, it lends itself to guys thinking a little bit too much about themselves. That's what I see.
You can only make an impact in two ways as a receiver, catching it and blocking. And if you're not being asked to block on a certain play, then you're just out there trying to catch the ball and do your thing. And I know that Debo's been, obviously, based on his tweet, he's been hearing the chatter from the fans or the media or whoever. And so I'm sure he wanted to go out against a Chicago team playing a lot of zone. Debo's great against the zone. He's thinking, this is my day to eat. And I'm just looking at that Garendo play. And as you were describing George Pickens, you don't see Debo run down the field to give an attaboy to Garendo. Next thing you know, they're going to a two tight end set, and then they punch it in for the touchdown. But you don't see Debo over there in a congratulatory pose. I didn't look at the all-22 to see if he did or he didn't.
Well,
but
if he's getting pulled off the field, then that's an excuse. I mean,
sure,
that's on the far side of the field. Right,
that's that was on the Bears sideline.
Like, don't get, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to run
down.
Don't
get 12 men on the field just because you want to high-five a guy.
It's time to get off the field.
I get that, but it's something, I think, to watch because,
for sure.
You know, when you have a game like that and Kittle does what Kittle does and he's going to the Hall of Fame and then Juwan Jennings continues to eat and you're out there with three targets and two catches and the caller was talking about him not being a good route runner and he's okay. I was looking at his first catch earlier. He runs that deep in and he gets open and he comes back to the football. It's a great route.
Yep. By the way, he wasn't that open. Like, he got open-ish. And
he came back to the ball,
which
too,
was a great play. Yeah. Yes, because Brock put it where only he could get it, but you had to come back to it.
Yep.
And he did. I'll give you this example, though. Like, to me, Juwan, from what we have seen from him, and maybe his stardom hasn't fully formed yet, but Juwan Jennings, to me, is one of the exceptions to what we're talking about with wide receivers. He has had wonderful individual days and been ticked off if they lose the football game. He is all about the team winning the game. And you don't get that with every wide receiver, especially some of the stars. Next up is Raymond in Richmond. Hi, Raymond. Thank you for the call.
Willie or Dibs, what's up with the goats of 95.7, man?
Hey, what's up?
What is cooking?
I just want to say I feel like everybody's coming down Shanahan's road saying he should be motivating this team to do better and play better. But since when is winning a ring not been motivation? Since when has your multi-million-dollar contract not been motivation? Like, this is on the players. Yes, Shanahan makes mistakes a lot, but come on, he's at the end of the day, he's not the one on the field. And Debo need to take those Twitter fingers and use them to catch a ball. Because Dibs, you should have known better than to bet on him over 4.5 catches, because he catches about 1 out of every 5. That's all I got to say. I love you guys. Have a good day.
Raymond, thank you for the call. What the hell were you thinking, Dibs?
A team that plays a lot of zone. Yeah. And
makes sense.
As I said in my pick, fade the dimmer. I really liked the Niners. That was actually my most confident pick of the week. I thought that they would be motivated, and Chicago, a team coming in reeling a little bit after 3 really, really tough losses.
Totally.
Niners out of bad weather in a spot where you're going up against a defense that's good. They're fine.
Their pass defense is solid. Yes.
Their pass defense, though, they play a lot of zone, and that's where Debo should be able to feast. But that damn Kittle was open so often.
That damn George.
You know?
And then that damn Juwan.
Yeah.
And then I also just think the other thing that the mistake that we often collectively make is that we think these teams are they are one thing and they're supposed to look that way every week. Nobody does that. I guess maybe the Chiefs. But even they, their result is the same every week. But I'd argue that tucked into that are at least enough mistakes that could get them beat every week. It hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. But as you all know, it's been razor thin at least 5 or 6 times in a season that is now 12-1. And they deserve some credit for that. They make big plays in the end. There's no questioning that. But Buffalo, for me, is the example of the day. What the hell is that? You beat Kansas City. You embarrass the 49ers in the snow. You're humming in a spot where, like, if the Chiefs blink one time, you can take home field advantage in the AFC. And you head out to SoFi Stadium and give up a 44 burger to the Rams, and you're trailing by double digits for most of the game. I get it, because that's football. But so much of this is the moment, the situation.
The spot, yeah.
Right? The spot. What's going on with that team? What's going on with this team? Who's feeling the sense of urgency? Who's playing with desperation? What about the X's and O's and the way this coaching matchup works? What does this team do well? What does that team do well? So I think you were right to think that this was a great spot for the 49ers and a really bad one for the Bears.
Yeah, and I think that the spot on Thursday for the Niners is
tougher.
A little bit tougher.
Tougher.
Especially, you know, considering the way the Rams looked on Sunday and the fact that you might be going with Taylor and Keyshawn Vaughn and Abanaconda.
Abanaconda.
Yeah.
Abanaconda. No, yeah. Just all you got to do is think Sir Mix-a-Lot. You'll never forget again.
That's right.
Right. Abanaconda don't want none unless he's active, hon.
We did that. And all he will be active, I bet, if Garendo's out.
Yeah, we'll see.